You're with the news at 1 on RTE Radio 1. In a long-awaited speech, David Cameron has said today that the British people must have their say on Europe, as he pledged an in-out referendum if the Conservatives win the next election. He said he wants to renegotiate the UK's relationship with the EU and then to have a vote, with the people facing a very simple choice, either to accept the result of the talks or to leave the EU altogether. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Irish MEP Gay Mitchell and get other reactions. But first, let's hear what the Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, the leader of the Lib Dems, had to say when he spoke about David Cameron's speech on the BBC.
My priority, certainly the priority of Liberal Democrats, is to build a stronger economy in a fairer society. Now, that job is made all the harder if we have years of grinding uncertainty because of an ill-defined and protracted renegotiation of Britain's status within the European Union. That, in my view, will hit growth and it will hit jobs. And that's why, in my view, it's not in the national interest.
Meanwhile, the French Foreign Minister, Laurent Fabius, said the plan was potentially dangerous.
We want the British to be able to bring all their positive characteristics to Europe. But you can't do Europe à la carte. I'll take an example which our British friends will understand. Let's imagine Europe is a football club and you join. But once you're in it, you can't say, let's play rugby.
And those are the views then voiced by Laurent Fabius. Gay Mitchell is an MEP for Dublin and he joins us now. Gay Mitchell, this, in the words of one observer quoted in The Guardian today, is dynamite. It's a huge risk, or would you accept that view?
I think it is a huge risk. First of all, the Lisbon Treaty formally provides for member states to leave if member states choose to do that. But the problem is this, that any attempt to renegotiate membership of the European Union would leave it open to all member states to reopen the whole question. And the real problem Mr. Cameron has is that he's under pressure from the UKIP party, and this is more to do with British politics than British interests. He says himself that he would fight for a yes vote. So it's very hard to see how the Union can say to Mr. Cameron, yes, we will negotiate, because the Poles may then say, well, we want to renegotiate, the Germans could say the same, the French could say the same. Indeed, a group of small member states could come together and say the same. So I think we really need to step back and look at what happens when these sort of situations come about. And the most recent experience we have is the disintegration of Yugoslavia. If one member state can pull out of the European Union or not pull out and renegotiate, then it leaves open the precedent for others. And I can't see the other 26, soon to be the other 27 member states agreeing to this. So I really don't know where it's going to go, and it is dynamite, as you say.
Now, he said in his speech that his first principle for renegotiation and for recasting Europe is, the first principle is competitiveness, and he believes that the essential foundation of the EU is the single market rather than the single currency. At the same time, though, he hasn't said what powers he would like to see flowing back from the centre.
Now, well, this is the difficulty, and they already have in Britain, indeed we have as well, because of Britain mostly, negotiated opt-outs, for example, in Schengen and in the Justice and Home Affairs area. They're not in the single currency. So they already have these opt-outs and decisions to make for themselves. But Britain is outside of the Eurozone, and Britain has itself run into difficulties financially all on its own. But the future is this. If Britain is to ask itself, well, should we remain in or outside of the UK? Are they to become Norway, for example, in which case they will have access to the single market, but they won't have MEPs, they won't have a commissioner, they won't have a minister at the Council of Ministers, they won't have anybody in the Court of Justice, and they have no influence with the European Central Bank. So these are issues, I think, that when the debate takes place, will be raised by others like Kenneth Clark and a lot of other politicians, and I suspect media as well. The running has so far been made by the sceptics, and they've got away with bland sort of comments, and that has put Mr. Cameron under pressure. But I think when the debate comes, people will look at this in a different way. And really, you know, it may sound sort of very poignant to say, but Britain, we owe a lot in Europe to Britain. The Battle of Britain really saved us from despotism. And instead of being on the periphery of Europe, Britain should be in there leading Europe. Instead of leaving it to France and Germany, they have the credentials, they have the diplomatic skills. But there are other questions, indeed, which arise. I had a constituent on to me this morning who was British saying, would I intervene now and ask the government to make it easy for British citizens who want to remain European Union citizens and living in Ireland, and of course a lot of those are in Northern Ireland, about a million of them, to get Irish citizenship. So people are being fearful already. They want to keep their European Union citizenship, and they're raising these questions. And it also raises the question, there is a provision in the Good Friday Agreement for poles on the northern on the border. Of course, in one pole that might not change. But in the future, you might find people in Northern Ireland saying, well, look, do we want to throw our lot in with the Republic in the European Union, or do we want to stay with Britain outside of the Union? And those questions, I don't think they have been thought out. All of this has been done as a reaction to political pressure,
right, but
a very slick operation by UKIP.
There's two ways, perhaps, of looking at this from an Irish standpoint, in addition to the points you've made, Gay Mitchell. One is that the departure from the European Union of our closest and biggest trading partner would be disastrous for Ireland. On the other hand, we could have 5 years of a chance to make hay for foreign direct investment, because people know now that there's only one country which is English-speaking, which is in the single currency, would offer them the prospect of setting up and opening up that gateway to Europe.
Well, last year, foreign direct investment in Ireland, rather 2011, it increased by 30%. And I think part of it is that Ireland is committed to the euro. We're English-speaking. We have a common law system that people understand. So I think people are hedging their bets, saying, well, look, if we have to be in an English-speaking country, let's try and have an operation in Ireland, because we know where they stand. So I think that is an issue that arises. But not only do we export a lot of our product to the UK, we have diversified and we export more of our product now to the rest of the European Union. And, of course, the United States is an important market for us. But we import more from the UK than the whole of Latin America and Japan added together. So we're an important trading market for them as well. And we have a very special relationship with them, as the Taoiseach and Mr. Cameron have been working on. So really, you know, I understand Mr. Cameron's position, and I don't want to be interfering in British politics, but the reality is that any attempt to renegotiate membership of the Union leaves it open to all of the other member states to do the same thing, and I think that that's something that is very close to impossible.
Stay with us if you can, Gay Mitchell. I want to bring in Nicholas Watt, who's Chief Political Correspondent of The Guardian. Again, the point, I suppose, Nick Watt, that we don't know what exactly David Cameron is looking for, in specific terms at least, in any new renegotiation. No matter what he achieves in a renegotiation, it's still going to not impress the UKIP side or the other Tory sceptics.
Well, yes. I mean, the UKIP side of the argument, the Bill Cash side of the argument, the veteran conservative Eurosceptic, they will only be pleased, when we walk through the exit door and close it behind us. And that is not the Prime Minister's intention. His intention, as you've been saying, is to transform the terms of Britain's membership. But I mean, he didn't exactly set out a shopping list, but he gave a pretty clear indication of how ambitious he wants to be, because he challenged really the fundamental central tenet, founding principle of the European Union, which is, he says, we don't want to be part of what is known as an ever closer union. He says, fine for France and Germany to go down that track, but not for us. Now, the big thing about that is ever closer union was obviously one of the key elements of the 1957 Treaty of Rome that founded the whole thing, and the Prime Minister is questioning our involvement in that. So it's pretty ambitious what he wants to do.
And clearly it's a speech which has left the Lib Dems, his partners in government, absolutely cold, with Nick Clegg saying that Britain is now facing, 5 years of grinding uncertainty.
That's right, and that's why what the Prime Minister is talking about is what he would do if he wins the general election in 2015, because obviously there's no agreement in the coalition to A, start these negotiations now, and B, hold the referendum now. But I mean, Nick Clegg has his own sort of little local difficulty on this, which is that in the Liberal Democrat manifesto for the last general election, they said there should be an in-out referendum. I mean, they hedged it by saying there should be a referendum if there's a fundamental change in the relationship between Britain and the rest of the European Union. But nevertheless, Nick Clegg does sort of find it slightly tricky in interviews when he criticises the Prime Minister, and then people say, well, I thought you were in favour of that.
So is it going to be the case that it'll be almost impossible for all the parties, the Labour Party as well, to avoid echoing the Cameron commitment to holding a referendum?
Well, interestingly, the biggest challenge really is on Ed Miliband, because it's the point that you make. Can he really go into the next election saying we don't need to renegotiate the terms of our membership and the people shouldn't have a vote? But in the last 40 minutes, he's given a very, very clear answer at Prime Minister's question. The Prime Minister said to him, so what are you going to do? And Ed Miliband said, we are against an in-out referendum. Very, very clear there. That is saying no to this on these terms. And it was interesting, the Prime Minister, who clearly his big strategy for taking on the Labour Party is you don't have a position, clearly either didn't hear Ed Miliband or pretended not to hear him, because he said, you haven't answered my question. What are you going to do? Well, Ed Miliband did answer his question. He said no to an in-out referendum.
So might we be looking here then, Nick, at a situation where David Cameron is making a promise that he might not actually have to or be able to deliver?
Well, he won't deliver it if he doesn't win a majority at the next election, because he won't. You know, he had a similar commitment in the manifesto over the last election, didn't deliver it because he didn't win an outright majority. So if he doesn't win an outright majority, there'll be a question mark whether he can deliver it. If he does win an outright majority, it's pretty clear he said he's going to do it, and therefore he'd have to do it.
And will this promise maybe perhaps help him to get that majority?
Well, the Conservatives think it will. You read the Conservative commentary today. People are saying on that side of the fence are saying this has increased his chances of a victory at the general election. But this gets back to the fundamental point of Britain and the European Union. You can, if you want to, as William Hague did in 2001, define your entire general election around the European Union. You remember he said he would fight to save the pound. You can define your general election on that, and you'll find that a lot of people agree with you. But the problem is that Europe is usually about item 12 or 13 on people's list of priorities. And the danger is that people will agree with you, but they'll say, I don't like you obsessing about this. I'm more interested in the person who talks about schools, hospitals and the wider economy.
Nicholas Watt, Chief Political Correspondent of The Guardian, thank you very much indeed for that analysis. Earlier I spoke to the German MP, Ralf Brinkhaus, a member of the Christian Democrat Union Party, Chancellor Merkel's party. He gave me this reaction.
He started with a strong commitment for Europe as a political union. In this next part, he outlined very clear his expectations towards a future union. The point of criticism he had were fair enough, less bureaucracy, a better budget, more democracy, and more competitiveness. And this is really okay. And it's also okay what he outlined at the end of his speech when he told the public in Britain what would it mean if UK is out and that there will be some strong problems for the British economy. The part which was not okay is that he always emphasizes the specific British role and talk about a better deal for Britain. It's not fair. He should have talked about a better deal for the rest of Europe too. There are a lot of possibilities to negotiate, but not with this blackmailing attitude.
You believe it is a blackmailing attitude?
Yeah, a little bit it sounds like a blackmailing attitude, because what I see is if the expectations of him and of the Conservative Party are not fulfilled, then in 2017 the referendum will not be successful for the union. And I guess this is not a good position to negotiate, saying, okay, you have to fulfill that, and that. Otherwise, we will have this referendum and we will vote against the European Union.
How hard do you think countries like Germany will try to persuade the British people to stay in the European Union?
Yeah, we will persuade them, and we are convinced that it's a better way for the Union, for Germany and for UK, if UK stays in.
And that's German MP Ralf Brinkhaus. Finally, back to you again, Gay Mitchell, Fine Gael MP, MEP, I should say, for Dublin. One of the points, Gay, David Cameron made is that if Britain leaves the European Union, well, this will lessen their influence in places as far apart as Beijing and Washington, because they're seen as having, as things are, a powerful influence within Europe.
You see, the world is a changing place, and I think this is a very relevant point. At present, Europe is something like 9% of the world's population and somewhere between 20 and 25% of its GDP. But within a generation, the influence of the world is moving east and south, and Europe will be 6% of the world's population. We can't have, in those circumstances, 28 or 30 different spokespeople for Europe. Europe will have no influence if that's the case. I think to some extent, if you look at the origins of Ireland and Britain's entry into the European Union, it was resisted greatly by de Gaulle, who exercised the veto because he saw some difficulties with Britain in the Union at the time. And I think that Mr. Cameron has the duty to raise this if he has serious concerns about it, but he may well be teeing it up for another European de Gaulle, for somebody to stand up and say, look, you know, we've had enough of this, and if you want to go, go, and actually make a lot of political capital in their own country out of that. That doesn't serve either Britain's interests or Europe's interests. And really, whereas I think it's good to have the debate whether they should be in or out, because it can't go on with, I think, tinkering at the edges. I really do think that there are people like Ken Clark, who are very heavy hitters, who need to come out now and start talking about the benefits of the European Union, not just to Britain, but to Europe. You know, 60 million Europeans killed each other in the first half of the last century. It's primarily about stability being the prerequisite for prosperity, and also about Europe saying, well, what is to be our role in the world? When we're 6% of the world's population, it's going to be very difficult to have 27 or 30 different voices.
Gay Mitchell, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, thank you very much indeed for coming on the line.